You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Todd Alba follows us from noon to 2 p.m. right after the 12 o'clock news. Great show. Join Todd today. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is going to be there to kick off the show. And then in the 1:34, Todd will be joined by Wisconsin State Senator Sarah Kayeski to talk about a new bill on right to repair, which we just talked about.
Oh, yeah, with Brad Paff.
Which with you Brad can, Paff.
From yesterday. So if you want to hear that conversation, go to civicmedia.us. Kilman said USA. Civicmedia.us. Go to the shows tab. You can download yesterday's episode and take a listen. It's a very interesting bill that's being authored here for something that I didn't think was a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing.
Exactly.
It essentially just allows farmers to repair their own equipment without having to download a $1,000 app.
Oh, it's probably way more than
$1,000. Or more,
yeah.
In order to fix their own stuff. Yeah. So, yes, this seems like it should be pretty much of a non-brainer.
Yeah.
But join Todd in from noon to 2 today and... his conversation with Wisconsin State Senator Sarah Kayeski. We are going to talk about the Trump administration's impacts on environmental issues here in Wisconsin. Rebecca Munich, I believe, is with us. Good morning, Becky. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, you sound and look wonderful. Thank you for joining us today. There are a lot of concerns. And Becca, I wanted to just point out, you are the executive director of the Great Lakes region for the National Wildlife Federation, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And obviously very concerned about the environment and Trump policies that will be affecting the environment in Wisconsin. So what are the things that you're focusing on primarily right now?
Yeah, so every couple of years, the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes office puts forward our policy priorities for the new administration and new legislature. And we've just recently rolled that out and we'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. again for Great Lakes Days next week to talk with folks in the administration and the in the Congress about what those priorities are. What's happening right now is there's a lot we don't know. A lot is happening really quickly, and it's important for us to think through what can we react to in a way that's smart and intelligent, because things are changing every day.
Right.
So we're just trying to keep breathing and make sure that what we do makes sense at that time, because things may change. So we're in that moment of don't react immediately to everything that's coming out, because it may be changing a bit. So in focusing on our policy priorities, many of them have been bipartisan, bicameral, supported by the Trump administration in the past. Things like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and funding for protecting our Great Lakes and the many projects that come from that work to Wisconsin and benefit communities and ecosystems in Wisconsin. That's something that we're highlighting. We want to continue to make sure moves forward, that we don't see any pushback to that in Congress. We've had some initial conversations that were good with congressional delegation members, and those bills have been introduced, again, bipartisan, bicameral. So we're pushing forward with certain things, and we're keeping our eye on any of those things that are coming out of perhaps the administration that we're going to need to react to at whatever point they become something that's more permanent.
Right. We talk about this all the time. We could all be living in a constant hair on fire moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's necessarily productive, even though I certainly understand the appeal of that. but sometimes
I can't live my life that way.
No.
Got that much energy, man? Jeez, you got to space it out a little bit. but again, you have to see what actually is coming forward as policy. You can't, you know, you can, it, we can all respond to things in the ether, but that's a waste of energy, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And so I think that's why we're trying to be really thoughtful when pieces come out that are related to our work, when it's an executive order or something like that. And then how do we react to it? And communicating with our congressional delegation, like, is Congress taking action on this? Are there, you know, communicating with other partners in the NGO environmental space, like, are, who is following this and tracking it? Because we're not going to be the experts on all issues.
Right.
You know, we have the things that we're focused on, Great Lakes restoration. We've been focused on PFAS. We talked about that, you and I, last year. Mm. We focus on shutting down Line 5. There's various things that are really important to us for us to work on. The other piece of that is there's work that we'll do at the federal level, but the beauty of an organization like National Wildlife Federation is that we can pivot when we need to work at a state level on policy or with state administrations, or if we need to work on the litigation side of things, we have legal allies and a legal clinic as well.
Well, I do want to say that it gives me hope when I hear you say the words bipartisan, because it just seems like that doesn't happen nearly as much as it should. Although at the same time, at least in Wisconsin, we have seen before that we might have bipartisan legislation that gets to a certain point, and then there's one person in particular who stops that progress.
Right. Yeah. And we're clear-eyed about this, that this is going to be challenging and we need to put all of our effort into pulling together the stories of the impacts of things like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative and positive impacts in communities and on ecosystems in Wisconsin and across the Great Lakes region and lead with those. And, you know, when there are threats to either really good policy or funding, we need to be able to say that this is what actually is at risk. And show those projects, tell those stories of the communities and the individuals that are doing that work and why it matters.
If you're just joining us, Becca Munich is our guest. She's with the National Wildlife Federation. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about the Great Lakes Restoration. Becca, for people who might be listening thinking, we don't need this. That's just, you know, that's more government waste. And what is that doing? What does that do?
Yeah, so over the last couple of years, there has been an appropriation from Congress to protect and restore our Great Lakes. And what that money does is a lot of it goes to on-the-ground projects to address toxic pollution in areas of concern across the Great Lakes, to address coastal erosion and other issues that folks may have as homeowners or folks who go to the beach and you see those beaches eroding, addressing the impacts of climate change, and things along those lines in different areas, stormwater issues too. So these are real restoration projects with real, like, boots on the ground, shovels in the dirt work that you can see that actually impact the folks who live in the Great Lakes region. So it is money that is useful, but it's that, you know, it does have to be appropriated. But on the other hand, there's a tremendous economic investment back into our communities, back into the Great Lakes, protecting our fisheries, protecting the livelihoods and the tourist industries and everything that we all think as hold dear in the region.
Well, and that's, I love what you just said right there, Rebecca, because something we've always talked about on this show is the fact when it comes to conservation, when it comes to fighting to make sure our lands are protected, that goes beyond, you know, all of the political divides and people
it should
regardless. True. But when we talk about going to the beach, people who go to the beach, doesn't matter who they voted for. It's about protecting those beaches for them, their kids and generations. But I think, Jane, what you just said is important to recognize is that we can even make something like this political for some reason. And all we're doing is talking about protecting the land.
And not having poison in our water. Gee, that's so controversial.
It's just a little poison, Jane.
Just a little, yeah, just a little poison. I applaud your calm, Rebecca, because again, let's talk more specifically about Line 5, because we hear a lot about this, and one side claims that Line 5 is so crucially important to Wisconsin and Wisconsin's economy. This is an old pipeline.
Yes, it's a very old pipeline. It should have been decommissioned years and years ago. We are in, I live in Michigan. We are really terrified of the risks under the Straits of Mackinac if there were an anchor strike or something like that, and the incredible destruction that would happen in our Great Lakes ecosystem. And in Wisconsin, we have already, a court order has gone through about Line 5 being an Enbridge trespassing on the Bad River Band and their sovereign land. And there are many different pieces there to consider, but I think it's an old pipeline and it's time for us to shut it down and to move to safer alternatives.
And I think it's important that people understand, we have had a guest on a number of times. His name is Matt Randolph. He's called Mr. Global. He is an oil and gas industry expert. He's been in the field for more than 30 years. And he has pointed out, too, that pipeline does not mean more oil. That is the, that's the, it's how it moves. It has nothing to do with the production of producing more oil. All it's doing is moving oil.
Right.
And that's, and an, important, that that's an important distinction.
It is an important distinction. And most of the oil is not actually used in the United States. It's used in Canada. And so that's something also to consider in that regard.
For folks who are concerned, Becca, how can they get involved? What can they do?
I definitely encourage folks to check out our website, nwf.org/Great Lakes, and to learn more about the actions that we're taking, how they can get involved. I think Jane, one of the things is maybe this isn't your issue, right? Maybe Great Lakes protection isn't someone's issue who's listening, but you're concerned about whatever is happening that concerns you in the world, and try not to focus on everything. Stay focused on one to three things that are most important to you and act in those regards. And if they're related to the environment, to wildlife, to conservation, come visit us at NWF. Reach out and we'll help you get engaged.
That's so important, Becca. It's like cleaning your house. If I look at everything in my house that needs to be cleaned all at one time, I'm not going to do anything. If I look at the one room, and I'll start with the one room, that I can handle in a day. We're going to continue our conversation with Rebecca Munich from the National Wildlife Federation. If you have a question or a comment, 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Young Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, as we always do, we're going to lighten it up just a little bit. We like to call it audio sorbet. A little cleansing segment, away from the heavier news. So we're going to talk about what is the latest thing you've learned on YouTube University. You can find out anything on YouTube. What is the latest thing you have learned on YouTube U? That's coming
up. Keep it clean, keep it legal.
Yeah, keep it clean, keep it legal. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Rip Me Off Baby One More Time edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. We are joined by Becca Munich. She is the Great Lakes Regional Director for the National Wildlife Federation. Becca, let's talk a little bit about PFAS here in Wisconsin. That continues to be an ongoing concern, especially for some folks who have been drinking bottled water now for more than 2 years.
Yeah, and so your listeners may remember that mid last year, the EPA put together drinking water guidance or maximum contaminant levels for six different PFAS chemicals. And this would really make it so that across the country, wherever you live, if you're in Wisconsin or if you're in other states, you actually have access to safe drinking water free of these six PFAS. Those levels were very protective of public health, and we're really happy about them. It is one of the things that we are watchdogging to make sure that there aren't any threats to that. So far, so good within this administration. But it's a challenge when you're living in a community where your drinking water has been impacted. If you're on well water, it's especially challenging because there's not an easy way to be, you know, to have a water treatment facility treat the water. So for folks in Wisconsin, just like in my home state of Michigan, where you've got a lot of folks on drinking water wells, it's important to think about what are the on-tap resources, the filters that folks can use to protect themselves from that, or unfortunately, sometimes drinking the bottled water.
Maybe I'm naive, Becca, but we can't all agree that we shouldn't have poison in our water. Is this this hard? I understand that it's more about who's responsible for it and who's going to have to pay for it. That's where the issues come up.
Certainly. And the states in particular are really thinking through what are the ways that the polluters can be held accountable for this contamination. So it doesn't fall on the backs of folks that have a contaminated well or the ratepayers that are just trying to pay their water bill and then water becomes unaffordable. There are efforts underway in Michigan and Illinois and in other states. And I don't know of one yet in Wisconsin, but maybe we've got a lawmaker listening that will be interested in pushing something forward to make sure that accountability for pollution, so our water is clean, the water that's coming out of our taps is not being borne on the back of all those of us that are ratepayers and taxpayers.
Well, and I know, at least in Wisconsin, Becca, we are having trouble attracting people to move here. And if you want people to move to your state, you don't want them to have to double check to find out if the water is poisoned in that city before they consider moving.
Right, exactly. You want to make sure that, you know, folks can go there. They're checking off like the schools are good. You know, there's great places for recreation because of the GLRI.
Yeah.
And the drinking water is safe because we have these maximum contaminant levels that have been set that are really protective of public health that are going to be across the country.
Becca. We have Jeff from Milwaukee on the line. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for calling. What did you want to ask Becca?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question for some clarity. You mentioned that if there was an anchor strike to Line 5, that it could be devastating for our ecosystem. I was just wondering if you could lay out a couple examples of what we might be looking at if there was an anchor strike and there was a spill, and if you could just lay out a little bit more for that.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Hang up Thanks a lot, Jeff. Sure. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I think if, again, Line 5 goes under the Straits of Mackinac, and if there were an anchor strike there, the way that the water system moves in Lake Michigan and Lake Huron there is you would actually have contamination come ashore in broad swaths of the Great Lakes shoreline there up in Michigan, and would have impacts just like we've seen with other oil spills, like in the Gulf, where you have impacts to wildlife. There are a lot of drinking water inputs also from Great Lakes water, which is generally clean and healthy and good. And so it would have that public health impact as well. Those are a couple examples.
Just think of the devastating footage we have seen from oil spills and the birds covered with oil and the fish dying. And it's really very, very, very serious.
It is. And it's, again, we work with businesses in the Great Lakes Business Network that are dependent on the Great Lakes.
Yes.
to, you know, run their businesses because they're brewing beer, or they're farmers, or they work in the tourism industry, or they're, you know, they're fishermen and fisherwomen. And so making sure that those resources are protected from a huge oil spill is incredibly important.
And something on which I would think we could all agree.
Yeah.
We want to talk to you after you go to Washington. I can't wait to find out what kind of reception you get. Becca Munich is the Great Lakes Regional Director for the National Wildlife Federation. We will include a link to the NWF in our show notes. Becca, thank you so very much. Looking forward to having you back on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, if you've got the app, we are global, baby, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training continues this week. The crew taking on the Dodgers this afternoon, 2 p.m., you can catch the game on several of your Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew and the Dodgers today at 2 p.m. That reminds me as well, wherever you are listening to Civic Media, whether you're in Richland Center or Oshkosh or Hayward or Amory or La Crosse, if you have something going on in your community that you would like to be highlighted, let us know.
Yeah.
Please send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Coming up in just a little bit, around 11:51, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Rip Me Off Baby One More Time edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, it is our Audio Sorbet edition. We're going to take a cleansing breath.
Where's my robe?
Just lighten up a little. Robe and slippers.
Yeah,
get
awesome.
Comfy. Mm-hmm. What have you learned lately from YouTube University? You can look up pretty much anything.
Yes.
On YouTube. And it'll give you the answers. More or less. I don't know that I trust everything that's on YouTube. You, my husband, we're having some plumbing problems at my house. We have no hot water on the first floor, which is challenging.
I would think so.
Yes, it's been a little challenging. So my husband decided to do a little research on YouTube U, and it involved our water heater. And one guy claims that all you have to do is, like, take off this one pipe.
Yeah.
And then you find out if it's clogged. And if it is clogged, then you get a drill.
That's where I'm out.
I know. And you drill into it, and then that's going to make a big enough hole for the water to move through. And my husband found this, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. I think we should get a plumber.
I just feel like that happens, that tomorrow the story is. So the water heater was shooting water into my husband's face yesterday because he drilled a little. He drilled baby drill.
So But again, there is a lot of useful stuff on YouTube. Lots of folks have learned lots of things. What is the latest item you've picked up from YouTube? You 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. What have you learned recently from YouTube University?
I've picked up, it's those little small projects around the house. My father always said, you can learn to fix anything in the house, but once you go to the electrical box, call a guy.
Is when you need a pro.
Yeah, but there are certain things.
Some fixes, like basic toilet fixes I've seen.
Well, toilet, I mean, that doesn't require electricity to be turned on.
Or a plumber, not or necessarily a plumber.
Yeah. I fixed our toilet the other day by using YouTube University. I installed.
Was it the flapper?
It wasn't the flapper. It was the thing in the. I don't know the name of it. It's the flapping. We have one of those toilets that has like it's eco-friendly toilet, so you can there's two modes of flushing.
Okay.
And something busted in there, and I had to replace the whole center section. But it was $15 to replace it.
Nice.
And it was an easy replacement, and I just when I was done, I was sitting there going this. This could have been $150, $200.
Just for the service call.
For a part they would have bought at Home Depot for $15. And you feel good about it. You feel proud when those things kind of things happen. And you look on YouTube University, and you're like, huh. And then you get a pat on the back.
And you feel good about
yourself.
You're
the hero of the moment in your house.
Absolutely. I did that. I fixed the flap.
Let's see here. PJ on the live stream says, my Aero Gardens pump wasn't working. I looked it up on YouTube and found a fix. Turns out the float was stuck. Now it works like new.
There Boom. You go.
Save yourself money and time. It's fantastic. I love YouTube University.
What have you learned recently from YouTube? You 855-752-4842. All kinds of information out there. Recently, I've been looking for a craft. So I've been watching a lot of... crocheting videos.
Okay.
It has not inspired me to make an Afghan.
Well, that's patience. That's a big project.
It is a big project. I could make like a really small one.
You can make an Afghan for a doll.
There you go.
Or your hand.
That too. 855-752-4842. What have you learned recently from YouTube University? Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I like doing a lot of cooking and being on a restricted diet where I need to watch like sodium intake, salt, restrict my dairy and protein. There's a lot of great videos online for quick, easy recipes that you can find, you know, and then just tailor it to your own needs. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
What are some of the best recipes you've found, Brian, off the top of your head?
One of them was a chicken tortilla soup. And it just uses a can of tomatoes, like tomatoes with the juices. And then you use a can of chicken, a can of black beans, a can of corn. And you toss in just some water, then bring that all to a boil. And once it's boiling, you got your soup. And then you take like those tortilla strips and you just kind of put those on top, then, you know, in your bowl. And you got yourself a quick, easy soup. I've also made like a spanakopita rice, which uses brown rice, spinach, onions. And then when that's all done cooking together, then you toss in olives and some chicken breast.
Ooh.
I'm hungry.
It's kind of like a spinach pie in a bowl.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Those are all dishes, Brian, that you can make a lot of and then have lunch for the week.
Or you can freeze it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, Brian. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. What have you learned recently from YouTube University? Jack from Merrimack texting in, listening on WAUK. When my car radio went down, I learned how to replace it.
There you go.
I bought a working used radio from eBay, replaced it, and now it works perfectly. Local business charges $200 an hour. A minimum 1 hour call.
Yeah.
It took me a half an hour. That's awesome.
There it is. Calvin sent us, I guess, Jean from Eau Claire called real quick to drop us a note saying her friend fixed her washing machine from using YouTube by matching the noise it was making.
That's great.
Well, it's generated float device is not working because it's going. Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. I heard it on YouTube.
It worked.
Or we're assuming it works.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Another listener in Madison on WMDX. I learned how to wrap beef Wellington.
Dang.
That is not an easy, and I've looked at those recipes. You got to be really patient.
You got to be very, yes.
Very patient.
Very patient. Know you're going to make mistakes from here and there. And yeah, and you're it may look like beef Okayington.
Yeah, that would be mine. What have you learned recently from YouTube University? 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Good morning, Mark. What have you learned recently?
I got a nice gluten-free recipe for almond biscotti.
Ooh.
It turned out pretty good. And it's only like 6 or 7 ingredients, and it is just pretty good. It's just a little technical, and you get to have you bake it for 25 minutes and pull it out of the oven and then let it cool, slice it up, and then bake it again for another like 10, 15 minutes and flip over the pieces and then another 15 minutes, but it turns out pretty good.
Ooh, that sounds really tasty, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate
that. Very hungry now.
Well, and I guess I have never used YouTube for cooking.
I'm trying to think
about it. We know I'm cooking challenged, so I'm always looking for help.
Okay, whatever. I've tasted the food you've made for us and it's good. It's great, especially the cookies you make. So I think you're downing yourself a little bit more than you like to say. You're better at it than you think.
I haven't poisoned anyone recently.
That's very, very true. Jim in Madison listening to WMDX says, I replaced the motor coupler, which, by the way, just right there.
Motor coupler?
Like a motor coupler. I would, if someone said, like, I replaced the motor coupler, I'd be like, you must be a trained auto mechanic. But he said it wasn't on his car. It was on his washing machine. $30. Thanks, YouTube.
Nice.
That's the thing is, the parts are always so cheap because they know the labor is going to be so expensive.
Well, and that's how you've talked a lot of times about how you change your own motor oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs you what the original investment, couple $100 for the ramps
for everything
and
you
the
need.
Pan and all
well,
that
I
stuff.
Mean, I mean, honestly, like we got all the ramp. We got those pieces for Christmas.
Nice.
And then we learned how to do it from my brother-in-law. So instead of it costing, and the last time when I went, which was a couple of years ago, it was nearly $90 to get my oil changed. So I guarantee you it's over $100 now.
Oh, yeah.
It cost me still $35 every time I change my oil because I go to the store, I buy the filter, and I buy the oil, and that's it. And then I change it. It takes 15 minutes. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. The bulbs on your headlights, on your car, changing your oil. Not just changing your windshield wipers, but the arms of the windshield wipers, too, are easy to change. There's a lot of things that we should be doing on our car that will save us so much money. But I think we get overwhelmed with the possibility of breaking it, voiding a warranty.
Yes.
Or just thinking, I don't have time. I'll pay the $300 to get it done.
The one thing I have found, though, when you talk about car lights.
Yeah.
They're really hard to get at.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I tried a couple of years ago, one of my side blinkers or something mm-hmm. was out, and I tried to get at it, and I cut myself pretty good because there was just no easy way to get at it. And no. I ended up taking it to somebody who had a special tool.
They have a special tool, yeah.
They have a special tool.
Yeah, well, go on YouTube University now and see if you can buy that special tool. Oh.
855-752-4842. What have you learned recently? By watching YouTube, we call it YouTube University, 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Morning. I got a kind of funny explanation of this. You were talking about Afghans.
Yes.
And I learned from my sister while she was watching the Tube TV. She would make one. She made one for me. It took her some long time, but you make it in like 8-inch widths, about 12 inches long or shorter, and then change colors and then sew them or mend them all together in pieces.
So you do a little squares. Thanks, Richard. And just a heads up, Richard, maybe next time turn your radio down in the background because that gives us a little feedback.
Yeah.
Because we can hear you hearing yourself. But again, crocheting is about patience.
It's about patience and practice.
Yes.
Yes. I tried crocheting a few times. I got the things done, but did it make a shape? Absolutely not.
Well, and the best thing about crocheting is it's more forgiving than knitting.
Yes.
Because with knitting, how tightly you have your yarn affects everything.
Yeah.
And I could never, nothing ever turned out square. So that's why I went to crocheting, because it was a lot more forgiving. It's like, is it square? It's square-ish.
This blanket is oblong.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy from Appleton, you're going to wrap it up here. Good morning, Cindy. What have you learned on YouTube?
Well, I actually went on to see how to drain snake my drain, but I still call it the professional. I'm not dealing with the yuck. But anyway, to speak to your question, I mean, your automotive thing, I mean, I give you kudos for doing it yourself, but I take mine in because they do an inspection on my vehicle, and that way I find out if I got something that needs to be replaced or major, and that's something I'm not going to do. So, you know, it's a good thing to do your own, but unless you're really mechanically minded, you might miss something that really needs to be fixed. And so, to me, it's worth the extra $80 to get a peace of mind, so I know if I have something that's going to be bad soon.
You're going to know about it. Yeah, I appreciate that, Cindy. That's a really good point. But I still think we should have a Greg Bach oil changing class.
I will teach you how to change your oil.
I think it'd be big.
I don't know how to make it work, how money will be exchanged, parts and things like that, but I want to teach someone.
We're going to have to work on that. All right, stay with us when we return. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Rip Me Off, Baby, One More Time edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget Brewers action this afternoon on some of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates. 2 o'clock today, the Crew taking on the Dodgers. You can listen on WRCE in wonderful Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. Brewers spring training action today, the Crew and the Dodgers at 2 p.m. Coming up on our show tomorrow, Judge Susan Crawford will be joining us. We are going to be talking to her at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I am looking forward to that. Of course, all the ads are out. You can't escape them. Oh. I guess you can escape them if you don't do any media.
I shall just go into a dark room, sit in the corner.
Until April 1st.
Until I hear a car driving by hearing Susan Crawford. Oh, no!
But Judge Crawford will be joining us tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We are just weeks away from the April 1st election. 5 weeks. 5 weeks away from the April 1st election. It's very, very important. If you have not registered to vote, if you're not sure where to go, go to myvote.wi.gov. Just type in your address. That will bring everything up. This is going to determine whether or not we keep a liberal majority, which shouldn't be a thing either, but that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. But we just got fairer maps.
Mm-hmm.
We just got fairer maps, which I believe is part of the reason why some of our lawmakers have felt compelled to hold town hall meetings.
Yes.
Because they're not locked in like they were before in such secure spots. If Brad Schimmel is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they can completely undo all of that. So keep that in mind.
Remember why you voted back in 2023 for Janet Prosewicz.
Exactly.
regardless of what you vote for regularly, because I swear to God, I there were Republicans who voted for her because they did not
absolutely
want Daniel Kelly. And Brad Schimmel is right down that same road.
Exactly.
Period.
Mr. Commemorative Coin Schimmel. So April 1st is the election. Also tomorrow, Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here at 11:30 to talk all things sports. Right now, though, 11:54, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Today's headline from the New York Times, headline reads, a fire festival, what could go wrong? 8 years and one prison sentence later, Billy McFarland is back with another attempt at the event. For those who don't remember, the original fire festival was a cluster of massive proportions.
It was so clustery, it was found to be fraud.
Yeah. Wire fraud. All kinds of fraud.
By a guy named Billy McFarland. What were we thinking?
33-year-old Billy McFarland, a self-described tech entrepreneur who actually spent 4 years in prison for this first fire festival. Now, the next one is scheduled for May 30th to June 2nd on Isla Mujeres. I've actually been there a couple of times. Beautiful island right off of Cancun.
There you go.
Right off the coast of Mexico, across from Cancun. The event will be staged at Playa Fire, okay, on Isla Mujeres. It's being advertised as an electrifying celebration of music, arts, cuisine, comedy, fashion, gaming, sports, and treasure hunting, all set on Isla Mujeres. A total of 2,000 tickets available. Guess how much?
Oh, I'm going to say the starting price is around 50 grand.
1,400.
Oh, wow. It's way off. Let's go.
Up to $1.1 million.
What does $1.1 million get you?
It covers admission for 8 people.
His legal fees.
It includes round-trip airfare from Miami to Cancun. That's about a 20-minute flight. A helicopter ride to Isla Mujeres. Another 20-minute flight. And the operation, the option of a 4-stateroom yacht or a 4-bedroom villa. Now, for people who attended the first fire festival, they didn't have bathrooms.
Nope.
They didn't have food.
Well, they had food.
They had sandwiches.
Google fire festival sandwich. It's great.
No bathrooms.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare for these people who spent big money to do this.
And they found out things were going awry the moment they got on the island. They were stuck on buses, and people wanted to leave immediately. Hulu and Netflix dropped documentaries almost at the exact same time about this tropical grifter that is Billy McFarland. And the fact that we are even allowing him to do this is insanity. And I don't know who's
I guess he served his time.
Oh, I'm sure he learned a lesson, too.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Tickets available. It's coming up fast. Don't let them slip out of your fingers. $1,000 to $1.1 million. Can't wait to see how this one's going to go.
Oh, my God.
That wraps up.
We get everything we deserve sometimes.
There's a sucker born every minute, they say. That wraps up today's edition of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Stay tuned for news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, Dom Salvia, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. Starting off the mornings, Pat Kreitler will be back on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You will be doing Up North Civic Media Mornings tomorrow.
With Todd Alba.
And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News coming up next. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.